You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week officially marked 1 year since the coalition government came into power. It's been a busy year for all three parties, with many new bills introduced and many more repealed or abolished. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I check in with Simon Court to see how well the party thinks they've done this past year. We explore what they have and haven't been able to do, and whether they'll continue to push for these things throughout the rest of their term in government, as well as how well the coalition parties have been working together. We also touch on the government's gang patch ban legislation coming into effect and how effective it's really going to be. Last week marked 1 year since the ACT Party, along with their coalition partners, took on the role of government. Just to start us off really simple, 1 year in, how does the ACT Party think they're doing?
Well, last year ACT campaigned to rein in the cost of living, deliver consequences for crime and end divisive policies. The Kiwis who voted for ACT didn't just vote for a change of government, they voted for a change of direction, and ACT is proud that we've delivered on that.
How do you think your coalition partners are doing?
We see that their agreements, in terms of the coalition agreements that ACT signed with National and that National signed with New Zealand First, are being delivered on. So we're confident and comfortable that their voters are getting what they asked for as well.
Is there anything that the ACT Party hasn't been able to deliver on that you aimed to do in the first year?
Well, clearly ACT would go much further when it comes to cutting wasteful spending, when it comes to liberalising the Crown's balance sheet or liberating that balance sheet so we can recycle capital from, you know, old assets into new assets. And, you know, we would want to have lower taxes. But clearly, ACT would go further. But what I would tell you and your listeners is that this government is going much, much further than a government without ACT. So we are confident and comfortable that we're having an influence and we're able to control the things that we're able to control.
There are quite a few things that the ACT Party campaigned in, or policies that you had in the 2023 election, that haven't been able to happen, maybe because of your coalition partners, is abolishing the Human Rights Commission, abolishing the Ministry for Women, ignoring the UN Declaration of Rights, abolishing fees-free for tertiary education, getting rid of the Zero Carbon Act, getting rid of Te Puni Kokiri, lots of abolishing. Are these things that the ACT Party still is aiming to do throughout their time in government, or have they been pushed to the side?
Well, if they're not in the coalition agreement, then they're not a current priority for this term of government. But what I will say, particularly around the Human Rights Commission, it was being managed so poorly. They were neglecting to look into cases where people's human rights were being abused. They'd essentially become a de facto political lobby group. But they are under new leadership now. We have Dr. Stephen Rainbow, will be appointed as the Chief Human Rights Commissioner, and we would expect to see a much stronger focus on human rights, free speech, and the kind of matters that Kiwis are interested in seeing protected, as opposed to hearing from what is essentially a government-funded lobby group, as they'd become under the previous government.
Within this government, party leader David Seymour has said that the ACT Party holds a disproportionate influence on decision-making. Does the party think that they have more influence than they should? What does he mean by this comment?
Well, I think the point that David makes rightly is that Kiwis who voted for ACT got 11 MPs elected. We've got 5 cabinet ministers and a parliamentary undersecretary. That's my role, policy making and resource management and infrastructure. And we are punching above our weight. That's the point that David makes. All of us have subject matter expertise in some area or another. In my area, it's, you know, transport, infrastructure, trying to get resource consents for things, cleaning up the environment. And all of that expertise can then be translated into much better public policy outcomes, whether they're in our portfolio areas or simply being able to offer considerate opinions and insights into what other ministers are doing helps the government perform better. So we're definitely punching above our weight, having a positive and strong influence. I'm really proud of that.
On TVNZ's Q&A yesterday, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon was interviewed, and he said that under this government, Māori Crown relations had probably gotten worse. He did put some of this down to policy from the previous government. What does the ACT Party think of his comments?
Now, well, certainly the previous government left us in a really difficult situation. They tried to impose a co-governance model over water and wastewater infrastructure, something that has never been a clear justification provided by the previous government. And it wasn't clear whether that was their idea of some kind of de facto treaty settlement or they thought they were just being kind. Incredibly divisive. Did not help us work out better ways and faster, more efficient ways to fix pipes or find the money to fix them. And you have to say the same about, you know, imposing Māori wards on local councils without putting it to a democratic vote. Really divisive policies. So having promised all of that, having had a previous government promise all of this stuff to iwi and hapu, having to unwind it and say, look, that's just not the direction that New Zealand's going to be going in the future. The people who voted for the coalition government absolutely soundly rejected that policy approach. So it is going to upset some people. It is going to hurt their feelings. But, you know, that is what the voters asked for. And it makes sense as well. We're not going to solve our infrastructure problems by having complicated multiple layers of co-governance and different boards with, you know, iwi and hapu representatives and people from council all trying to work out, you know, what's the tikanga of fixing the pipes. It's just complete nonsense. It's not going to help New Zealand. And you know, you have to say the same about local government governance. We do need better governance. We need to elect better people. And we also need to make sure that they can use their powers in a more focused way. We've certainly seen local government over the past few years really lose its way, you know, fail to focus on making sure their infrastructure is renewed and that they can provide for growth. We saw that in Auckland a few weeks ago. Watercare put out a map saying that, you know, very large areas of Auckland where potentially hundreds of thousands of homes could be built won't be able to be developed out until the 2040s because they haven't done the work to provide for growth. They haven't built the bulk infrastructure. These problems need to be solved, and they certainly wouldn't be solved by the divisive co-governance policies of the previous government.
What about the ACT Party? Do you think that Māori Crown relations are better or worse than they were a year ago?
Well, the people I speak to in iwi and hapu organisations and the Runanga I engage with around resource management and infrastructure are really pleased with the direction we're going. They're really pleased with our focus on making it easier to get consents and planning permission for large developments. You've got to remember, a lot of these iwi organisations are major property investors in industrial and commercial land. You look at Waikato Tainui, all around the logistics and distribution hub, and Hamilton East. You think about Ngātahu with their very large farming and irrigation operations. These are organisations that want to build stuff. Ngāti Toa in Wellington, I mean, you might have heard Helmut Modlik debating David Seymour about the Treaty Principles Bill. His 2IC is running a massive property development company building hundreds and hundreds of homes around Porirua, and what they want is a faster consenting process and, you know, local councils to be working on infrastructure so they can connect more of their land to infrastructure and build houses. So I'm hearing really positive things about what the government's doing, what ACT's policy around resource management and infrastructure is going to do to help them unlock economic and social development. And, you know, frankly, what we hear in the media and all the reports about division are not evidence from the meetings and discussions I'm having.
So better is the answer?
Yeah, I think we're getting really positive response from iwi, hapu and runanga that when we go and talk to them about the problems that they want government to solve. And, you know, that is around how do we get more land ready to develop homes so that people can have warmer, drier homes and can have access to jobs in an economy where, you know, they have stability and they can plan for theirs and their children's future. That's what they want to talk about, and they know that's what this government's focused on delivering.
Okay, just really quickly, because we are running out of time, I do want to touch on the gang patch ban coming into power last week. Many people have already been arrested for wearing gang insignia in public. However, a first-of-its-kind police report last week found more evidence that the legislation probably wouldn't be effective, saying that people from marginalised communities, including gangs, had inconsistent policing experiences and that the best outcomes occur when police build relationships and trust within these communities. What's the ACT Party's thoughts on this?
Oh, I 100% agree with the report writer. And one thing that I can promise your listeners is that the gangs will experience much more consistent policing under this government. Gang patch ban is just one example of that. They will be able to trust police in the way police respond because police will be responding forcefully to remove their patches if they're wearing them in public and heavily police their gang tangies and other activities where they're massing, you know, lots of motorcycles, where they're taking over streets, intimidating people. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more consistency and the gangs can trust this government and trust our police to enforce the law. So I know that people who live in communities where gangs are a major presence are very, very thankful of that.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court reflecting on the last year in government and the gang patch ban coming into effect.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.